You're listening to the world's smartest podcast network.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento. Sacramento. Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 269. My name's Turner Sparks.
I am Miguel Kaplan.
Ooh, you can find me at turnersparks.com. I'm in New York City all this summer. I'll be on tour in the fall. If you come to New York, check me out. Follow me on Instagram at turnersparks. Come to my shows. All the tour schedules at turnersparks.com. You can follow Kaplan. Find Kaplan at Kaplan America on all social media platforms. Kaplan, today we're talking about El Salvador. There's a lot going on there. Their president... millennial cool guy,
cool dictator, the world's coolest dictator. We talked about him once before.
The world's coolest dictator is making moves down there to
making cool moves
to clean up gang violence, and it's a bit controversial. So we'll get into that in just a minute. But before all that, Kaplan, patreon.com, folks, we need to crank that up a little bit. We need to come up with a new thing. Like if we get to $500, we do something specific.
Yeah. We did think we were going to throw a party at the Friars Club. And that's
We were supposed to do that. That never happened.
Omicron is the reason, but we'll do it.
So maybe let's get back up to 400. When we get back to 400, we'll throw a party. Although we're already supposed to throw a party.
What about if you are the person who puts us at $400, you get to be Turner's new director of security? Because as comedians are getting, Dave Chappelle got attacked. His security came flying in yesterday in L.A. with like some badass, you know, they took care of business. You need a guy like that. So maybe
So Dave Chappelle was at the Hollywood Bowl. He got attacked by an audience member. 20 security guards ran on stage and then they dragged this guy backstage. And apparently included on the ass kicking were Jamie Foxx and Busta Rhymes. they were backstage as well. And they also claimed they beat this guy up.
That's awesome. So, yeah. Well, that's what we need. It should be all of our patrons. It should be Tug. Should be Sugar Brady.
Oh yeah. Scoop. Is he still around?
If you donate $10 a month, you become part of the posse.
Linda Van Dam, Gary Sparks.
My mom. You might need some better people. Dennis Owens.
Go to Patreon. Drew Fralick would be good at beating people up. He's a minister now, so he can bless them before he kicks their ass.
Last rites before he kicks their ass.
You go last rites. We're now murdering people backstage.
Well, we're protecting free speech.
Go to patreon.com/lostinamerica, protecting free speech at all costs. For $5 a month, you get bonus episodes. Cap and I doing our Full Throttle comedy podcast a number of times a week. This week, we have 3 coming out. So get on now. You get 3 episodes. Also, for $10 a month, you get a number one in Armenia t-shirt. We went to number one in Armenia. Everybody knows that. We made t-shirts and mugs. Kaplan, for all of you watching on YouTube right now, Kaplan's holding up the mug, or watching us on Twitch, Comedy Hub on Twitch. Shout out to them. And for $20 a month, you not only get your own ad on this show, but you become part of our posse and you can beat people up in the backstage at any show. Whoever you want, just come backstage and start kicking ass. Even if it's like the opening comedian or something, I don't care.
Or if it's someone who didn't laugh properly at one of Turner's jokes, you just beat them up then. Just turn the tables.
We got to strike first.
Strike first
on this audience. Yeah, you beat them up.
We decide somebody's going to be offended ahead of time and just start beating them up.
That person looks offended. I can feel it coming. Let's just beat them up. Dislocate their arms before this show begins.
Or do a stylistic slap, whatever you got. Yeah.
We're learning from Nayib Bukele here that this is how you're supposed to do it.
He would get behind this. We're going to talk about this. Yes.
Which, let's get into that now. So Kaplan, Gabby Rivera is here. I don't know if we mentioned that. So she's going to be our guest in just a second. You know her. She's been on this podcast before. We love her. She's fantastic. She's based in San Salvador, in El Salvador. She's a stand-up comedian there. And but before we bring her on, Cap, what do you know about what's going on here with El Salvador and the gang problem?
I know that there's been a state of emergency for, I believe, over a month now. And because of a rising violence, he declared a state of emergency and he arrested, I think 22,000 supposedly suspected gang members.
Yes.
And most of the, I mean, about half of them, I think, were freed, but he's been holding a lot of people without any sort of due process or so. Some people are saying he's sweeping up people who maybe aren't guilty. They might have a tattoo that looks a bit like a gang tattoo, but it's not quite. The guy just had a bad job.
People with gang tattoos.
He's arresting people who, if they have tattoos that have the symbolize you're in a gang, he's arresting them. But my problem is, what if you go to the tattoo artist? You don't know what you're getting. You're like, that's a cool. I saw some guy wrote that and he just got it.
Well, that could be an issue because I saw a picture you had up the other day of your son who just had his 10th birthday doing an okay sign.
He was.
And a lot of people thought that was a white power sign.
He was coming out as a white nationalist at age 10.
10-year-old
Jewish
son. 3 years
before
his
bar mitzvah. Yes.
A gang tattoo could be confused with a...
Yeah. But, you know, it's one of those things where I think the trains run on time. People are happy because it seems like from our reading that about 90% of the people are supporting a lot of these measures because there's a lot of, I guess there must be a lot of violence. That's what we're guessing. So,
well, there was, so March 27th, I read, is when this all, it all kicked off because 62 people were murdered in one day on March 27th in El Salvador.
That's Chicago once a weekend here. But
so the president, well, they only have 6.5 million people in the country. So I did the math. So the news, more people are getting arrested every day as suspected gang members. So a week ago, they said 17,000 were arrested. And so I did my math based off of that. Now it's up to 22K. But let's just say 17,000 were arrested, but there's only 6.5 million people in the country. So if you put that into U.S. numbers, that would be like the president arresting 861,000 people as suspected gang.
In a month.
In a month, which is pretty impressive.
That's impressive. And, you know, we talked about on our Patreon show this week that Long Island City has an F rating for crime.
Your neighborhood.
My neighborhood where I live. Yeah. So I would say...
Crime violence than Compton, California.
That's the type of stuff we go through on the Patreon show. But I would say that they pre-arresting all these people, they might have got an F too. If you're getting 62 murders in a day, that's probably earns you an F. So I could see why he'd be motivated.
So you want everyone in your neighborhood to be arrested as well?
The Yenta Pack. I speak for all of our people in our neighborhood. Yes, we want them to come in, Mayor Adams, and sweep in. How many do we have to arrest in New York to equal that many thousand?
I can't do the math that quickly. I don't know.
I'm no mathematician.
I'm a
just
comedian.
Just come in and sweep up everyone with a tattoo.
Anyone with a tattoo goes to prison.
I've been in favor of that my whole life. No tattoos.
Running on city council. That's his platform. Okay. So the two sides, one side is saying there's a lot of human rights organizations saying, hey, you're arresting all these innocent people. And then there's local 91% of El Salvadorians are saying, no, it's good. We need this. Gangs have gone too far.
Yeah. Gabby
Rivera, welcome to the show. Thank you for coming. How did we do on that synopsis?
Well, pretty good, I would say. It's as you were saying, there's two sides. So I really don't know what to think anymore. So I'm really happy that we're going to get together and talk about this. But pretty good, summary of what happened.
Look at that. We did a pretty good summary. Getting smarter.
Let's start here. What is it like to live? So we have gangs in America. But they've never felt overwhelmed. I mean, I'm sure if you live in certain neighborhoods, they can feel overwhelming. But they've never had genuine rule of the country. We've never had, gangs have been isolated to certain neighborhoods. And I'm sure it's awful if you live in that neighborhood. But for the most part, you don't really feel it. And there have rarely been neighborhoods where the police or the government is afraid to go into because of the gang. What's it been like in El Salvador for the past, I don't know, we read that a lot of this started in the early 90s.
Yes. I'm also going to talk about what I've read throughout my whole life. And the gang phenomenon started after the Civil War. It's actually said that during the Civil War here in El Salvador that started around, it's difficult to say, but in the 80s was very, very hard. So people went to the U.S., you know, they emigrated. They went to the U.S. to escape from the war violence. And then they went to L.A. and some, I don't know exactly where, but these people, they were Salvadorians that didn't find their place in the neighborhoods. And they started, the gang started in the U.S., So after the war, throughout the 90s, some people were deported, and then that's how the gangs started like being stronger in El Salvador. And I also would like to point out that the reason that they are so violent is because we're kind of used to the violence. I don't want to say that because it's not like, no, it sounds awful, yeah, but throughout the war, like, you could see a horrible crimes happen. So when the gang members came back, like, they were like, it's always said from people, like, since I work in different call centers, and I meet a lot of people that were gang members in the US, but are no longer gang members here in El Salvador, because they say, like, no, here is really tough. Like, here is really violent. In the US, I was just like dealing drugs and, you know, like in a gang. And here, like, you're hardcore. So
in America, they're posers.
Huh?
In America, they're soft, the gangsters, what you're saying.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's really hard here. They do horrible things. So that's what it started in the 90s. And to answer your question, like, how does it feel like? Like, throughout my whole life, I, like, people have this fear, like you say, to going to different places. And I can also say that, again, throughout the years, to give you an example, when I was a church member, we had people in the church that live in dangerous places, but we could get in, like, we could get in there, like, with the missionaries, and we could go to their houses. And then as the year passed, they were like, no, look, like, I need to come pick you up because you cannot just enter this place. And then later on, they were like, please don't come. Like, so you can really see, like you were saying, like, how they control the territory. And I don't know, like, to what extent is that is happening now, because it's like you said, those territories are controlled, and usually the police couldn't come in. I don't know what happened. Like, right now, it feels very different because they're saying, like, now, like, the police has the control, you know what I mean? Like, instead of the gangs, now you have to go through a police control. Like, they have soldiers and policemen in the entrances of this communities, like, checking everybody and seeing if they can arrest somebody or if they have anything wrong with them.
So when the police, I mean, when the gangs would run a neighborhood, and if you don't know the answer to this, that's fine. But did they, would you pay taxes to the gang, or like how deep into the neighborhood did they get? What did they control? They control like hospitals and schools and the money and businesses.
Well, from my reading, they control all the illegal trafficking, like drug trafficking. People, I don't know how to say in English, about people, they control
human trafficking.
Yeah. And they also, like you say, they also tax you. Like, there's a thing here called renta. So if you have a small business or if you have anything that gives you money, like, you have to give money to them. Like, I don't know how much money they ask for. If it's, some people say, like, it's so much money. Like, I have a small store or I have like a small restaurant. I don't know. So yeah, that's one thing that they would do. And they would also, like, I think it's more about, people say that it's more about the control of the drugs and the drug trafficking. And they also, like, if you are from another place, like, they check allegedly, like, all of this is just things that I read. If you have, like, we have our ID. So they always check your ID, because if you're from another place where there's a rival gang, then you're going to have a problem if you go to the other territory. So yeah, I from what I read through, it seems like they have a lot of control over the territories that they control.
So if you had a small business, you had to pay like a protection, basically paying for protection, like in The Godfather, kind of like you just pay.
Like very much like in The Godfather, just like that. And allegedly, I'm talking like I'm in court. Like, I didn't say this. I didn't see it. I'm just relating to you.
You've heard.
Yeah, we only need your what you know, what your experiences are, what you've heard.
I know.
Do we have to black out her face and change her voice?
So this type of thing, like, you hear so many stories. You hear like big business, like, for example, Coca-Cola. Like here, like they have their trucks. They have to pay to get in. Or if you have like a cable company and you want to go to a place to sell cable, you have to pay. Like, you hear all kind of stories. So it's really like a known thing. And I also know from personal experience, for example, I had an uncle of mine. He had like a, like not a really small store, but he likes to do most of his business. Like, I don't want to say secretly, but he buys things in bulk from China and then he resells them. But he doesn't even like to have like a sign on his store because he doesn't want to be called. Like, they are always looking for whom to call and tell, like, give us money, you know?
Wow. Have you ever been affected? Because I was doing comedy in Mexico a couple months ago, and the show I did in Playa del Carmen was free. And they said the reason why, and it was like Americans running it, they said the reason why it was free, they used to charge money to come in. They did one show where they charged money and they made a bunch of money. And then the second show, the gang showed up and told them they had to pay them all the money. They were just like, oh, you're charging tickets? They're like, yeah. And they're like, cool, we're the gang. Now give us all the money from your tickets. And so from then on, they just did free shows and they do like a tip thing at the end. Because if they advertise it's free, no one shows up to take money.
The gang doesn't take tips.
Has it ever affected comedy in that way?
Never. Not really. Like in my life, not at all. Like, I only have stories from other people, but I've never been affected by that in that way, or our comedy shows or anything like that.
And is it it's like pockets, or have they ever controlled the whole country, or is it just like pocket, like neighborhoods and different pocket different areas?
Well, it's actually, yeah, as you say, like pockets, and very, like you were saying, like neighborhoods where most of the people live, like maybe middle class or lower class is more affected. Where I live, allegedly, the whole place is run by one gang. So that's the reason that there's no violence, because like they are all the same gang. That's what I've heard. And some people say, like, in that other place, Santa Tecla, for example, they only have, they call it, well, my sociology teacher used to say, like, that's like a sleeper. Like, everybody there is from the same gang and they just live there. So that's why they don't. But usually where they are fighting for territory, like if there's a place where they're fighting for that territory, then that's where you're going to see the most violence. So I don't think that it affects like upper class people, especially because here in El Salvador, like there's been throughout the last maybe 15 years, like this, I want to call it fashion. I don't know how to call it, but it's like people are starting to close up, like gate. Everything is gated. The place where I live, again, it used to be a street, like a regular street. And it looks so ugly because they put one gate at the beginning and one gate at the end. And you can really tell, like, this place was not supposed to be gated, yeah, but it's now gated.
It is a gated community, we call that.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. But it's like, after the fact, like I will right. be happy.
With the plans.
It's like a city street.
We just need that here street. In Long Island City. We're just sticking a gate up.
You should do that. You should tell James Kaplan. That's the move. Stick a couple gates up.
It's so ugly, and for the traffic, it's also very like some. You're used to. There are so many places where you were used to be able to go, and now it's like that place is gated. Like, it doesn't even make sense. And of course, the places that are planned and upper class, they have, like, it's a suburb. Like, for, like when you, like you see in American movies, like a suburb, like you have security, and the more money you have, the more security you have. I know of people, and I'm impressed because they live in a gated community. And then when you get into the community, each street has another gate, and all the way
layers.
Up to get
double gated community.
So the richest people have the most security. Is that how it works? Like,
yes, that's how it works.
The more gates,
more levels,
the more gates. All the way to people having their own security at their own house, like
within the security community.
So they don't even trust the other gated community people.
Exactly, you don't even trust them.
That's a real challenge to try to kill one of those people. You gotta, like, if you're hazing.
I will say, I did a well, yeah, it could be an issue. I remember I did a country club one time, and I will not say where it was, but they told me that before I went on stage, they said, hey, don't do any jokes about gangs, because a lot of the people who live in this suburb, like this country club community, are the leaders of Mexican gangs.
Oh, that's, yeah. That's another thing that I sometimes think about. I went to, well, I don't know if that has anything to do, but now that I'm older, I think, like, I went to a German school, so I think, like, they always had, like, this social commentary about everybody or about everything. So I had a teacher that was like, yeah, the people that are stealing, but you don't think about the white-collar criminals. And I always, like, you know, like, the more you, I think about that because I had a like a person in my church that was on TV. And then, like, throughout one period of government, like, he had so much money and he went to church with like two more cars with security. And now he's like a witness living in the US and so. But like you're saying, like, the more security they have, I'm like, do you have anything that you're keeping from us?
I mean, all the mafia, heads of the mafia, like, you've seen Sopranos, they go to church. They all have the priests and everything. Yeah.
Dave Chappelle's security team could, that's where they got their training in El Salvador.
So you're saying, and then this all started with, which we had read the same thing, that you're saying it all started in the 90s when we kicked the gangs out of America and sent
they
them
came
back
to America for training, those guys, right? And then we kicked them out and sent them on their way. Yeah.
And they went back to El Salvador and started these gangs based off what they learned. That's crazy.
Our fault, once again.
So. Now, the president, the cool guy, millennial Bitcoin president, his hat's on backwards. He comes around and he says he's 40, I think, right? Years
he's
old.
40.
He's yeah, now
40.
He's 40.
He's a and millennial he's decided president. He's going to get rid of the gangs. And the first thing he did, allegedly, was make a deal with the gangs. We've heard these are rumors. He might have done this, but a lot of people think he did. I think the U.S. government even put some of his team, his cabinet on sanctions because of allegedly doing this, making a deal with the gangs to say, hey, let me just pay you some money and stop killing everybody. And okay. Is that the worst idea?
Those the terms? We'd have to know the terms, I think, to know
how much money they got. I mean,
how much money or what they're still allowed to do? Are they still allowed to do other crimes?
In desperate situations, you're like, just stop killing everybody. What do we need to do to have you stop killing everybody?
Exactly.
And so he did that, and then that seemingly didn't work. That fell apart in March or sometime of this year when they went back to killing everybody, and so now he's arresting everyone, right?
That's it. I mean, from what I've read, like, from the like all government after not maybe not all but since the gang issue became a problem, like a really big problem, like different governments have tried to negotiate with them allegedly, but we can like there's really strong evidence they say about the last two governments before this one and then this one, they say that they also negotiated with them, allegedly again. And as you like, you're telling that perfectly, like on the day that everything happened, there were so many people were killed that some people say like, what happened? Like, didn't they have, like, they're trying to send a message to gangs, or did something fall through that they don't have like a deal anymore? And then at midnight on that day, they did like this,
midnight.
I don't know, like the régimen de excepción, like you were saying, like they did this, they declare this thing,
a
like
state of emergency.
State of emergency. Oh, okay. They declare it, and they started to arrest not everybody, but like a lot of people.
So
that they didn't arrest before.
What?
Yeah. So the state of emergency, from what I've read, and you can fill in other things. What it did, it gave the government like way more powers to be able to arrest people. They could arrest now people as young as 12 years old for being gang members.
And count them as adults, I believe it even says, right? Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, they can also arrest anyone just based off suspicion. They don't really have to have proof. They don't have to have a warrant to get into the home, to go into someone's home. They used to have that. Now, under this special state of emergency, they don't have to. They also, the person doesn't have the right to a lawyer anymore if they get arrested. And also, they can be arrested. They can go to prison for up to 45 years for being a gang member. And then if any media interviews a gang member to give their side of the story, the media members can go to jail for 10 to 15 years for doing the interview. And so most people are happy about this. Let's first of all, like, why 91% of people are happy. So
Approve, yeah.
Approve of this. And I guess it's based off this long history, but why is that the case?
Why do people approve it? I believe the same that you do. Like they are very tired of all the violence. I think that people that don't approve it are very few. And it's the human rights people. Like in my heart of hearts, like I'm happy, quote unquote, that this is happening. But in my deep in myself, it's like, oh my God, this is wrong in the sense that we need to have like a trial, like evidence, like crimes are not like, I think, for example, like what if somebody did, like, there are different crimes other than being a gang member. So maybe
exactly.
One person deserves more time than the other. I don't know. Like I only think about democracy. I don't know. Like, I think we should, but most people, like, they hate them. And somebody was saying, like, I believe that to be in a gang, you have to kill somebody. So you can really say that everybody's a murderer.
Whoa.
So in that
sense, the initiation, like, process, there's no,
there's
even the 12-year-olds.
Jesus.
I don't know. Like a long time ago, there was this very famous case of a 15-year-old that killed a lot of people. So I don't know if they still do that, but from 10 years ago, I read that it is known that you have to kill a person to become a gang member. So you can say that everybody's like murderer.
But a lot of the people arrested are maybe not gang members, I think, is the issue. Because they're just sweeping up.
For example,
like
there's been a lot of talk about that too, about that some people are not gang members.
Do you know anyone who's been arrested?
No, I don't know anybody I know one person, but I don't know it personally. It was a friend of mine told me, like, do you think you're, well, it's a long story, but my mom also worked in call centers, and she had like a lot of friends that were deported, like people that used to live in the US. So some of them, as I was telling you, were gang members in the US, but no longer here. And they, like, when you think about it, they don't have a criminal record here. You haven't committed a crime in El Salvador, et cetera. So my friend told me, like, this person got arrested, and I think your mom knows him. And my mom was like, yeah, I know him. He used to work here and there, and he's now arrested when allegedly he hadn't committed any crimes here in El Salvador. And he had he had all his papers in rule. I don't know why, how is he going to be charged for what, you know? But there's been like more than one of those. Like I've heard about two people and I don't know them personally, that they work at call centers. They were deported from the US, and in the US they were gang members, and now they are in jail when they haven't really committed any crimes here, maybe in the US. But at this point, everything is so, like you were saying, like everything is murky, because you don't really know. And the spirit of everybody, like, you have no idea how much people hate gangs and gang violence here in El Salvador. So that's why I think they have such a high approval of the measure. Like, and I don't know, like, maybe it's just the fact that I'm a psychologist and the college I went to, but I do feel like maybe, I mean, for example, they say like, we're not going to give them any food and they're going to be sleeping on the floor. And I'm like, or maybe my Christian heart is like, I don't know. I mean, like even the worst people, I don't know, but most people are happy about it and they don't mind that. I mean, of course there's going to be a human error.
Yeah, sure.
I saw that there was a mom whose kid had been mistakenly arrested, and she said, I still support it, even though he's innocent. I still support this. We need to clean up the gangs. So it does seem that it must be a really, I mean, what was like a typical day must've been just so terrifying, I guess, to do certain things that they support this.
I think for a lot of people, for most people, it's very terrifying. Like people there, I think there's levels of how the violence affects you. Like some people are directly affected, like they have to pay things. They are not able to get into their homes without gang members like like they see them every day, blah, blah, blah. And then we have other people like myself, like are always thinking about that, always paranoid, always checking everybody on the street. So everybody, like they don't like them. And what you say is true. Some people, even if they have been affected by the measure, they still approve it. And I just feel like, for example, like right now they're gonna build two more jails. And I don't know, like, to which extent can we, like, is this going to be, like, I think in my heart of hearts, like, if is this going to be resolved by just putting a bunch of people in jail? Or is this going to be worse at some other point, you know, because I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, if it's, we can't judge it all. Because we're in a country where gangs exist, but as you said, they don't, I've never really felt scared about gangs. And as Kaplan said, he lives in the worst neighborhood in America.
There are some neighborhoods in New York and Los Angeles and Chicago where I would say this is,
well, we just stay away. We have the luxury problem. Of just staying away from those neighborhoods.
Us two have that luxury, yes.
Yes. And in like the middle to upper class neighborhoods, you're never, the police run the streets. The gangs don't run the streets, you know? And I don't know anyone who's ever had to pay, that I know of, who's ever had to pay a bribe to a gang to be able to continue doing their business. I don't live in a neighborhood, like you said, where like, well, one gang runs your whole neighborhood. So for now it's fine, you know?
Right. There's no civil liberties anyway, because the gang is taking them away, is basically what you're saying in these situations.
Yeah. So it would be, I could see how it would, you would say, finally, they're doing, the government's doing something about this. So in your life, you've lived somewhere where there's one gang. First of all, do you feel nervous at all about even talking to us about this?
A little bit. I mean, I was telling you before we started, like I start to feel like there's a lot of there, like the things that are moving forward, like the laws, like they did, like one thing that they did with the state of emergency is something that they could do anyway because we live in El Salvador. But now they can like listen to anybody's phone. They can, like you said, they can come to your house. So you start to feel like if they never change that back, like are there gonna be, I think about Nicaragua. I think about other countries that I know where people's like, I sometimes feel like something's starting that is going to go to an ugly place. Like right now, it's not so ugly,
right?
But it could get there because pretty much the president can do whatever he wants because the whole assembly, like the whole representatives of each, like he can vote whatever law he wants. So
he has the Congress on his side. And
he
all
took out the Supreme Court, basically, right?
So moved. That's interesting, Gabby. I was actually asking about, do you feel nervous because the gangs? But you're saying yes, but you feel nervous because the government.
So I feel nervous because I think that they're having so much power. And I also feel nervous about the gangs because yeah. I think that they're just arresting their soldiers, so to say. Like we were talking about high profile criminals and so. I don't know who's going to, I mean, I know their bidding still needs to be done. I don't know who's going to do it or under what, like, I don't know. But I feel worried. I mean, when I think about it, like, I also don't want to go back. You know what I mean? Like, I also don't want to say, oh no, don't arrest them or, you know, like don't change anything. But it also feels like there's, I don't know, everything is so crazy. Like I'm afraid of the changes, I guess, like they're happening so fast with this president. And I'm so used to living in this country that I think like, it's a negative thing. Like you don't think that things can go right. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that things can go right, but I hope for the best. I hope that everything gets better and we finally can get rid of that problem and and children in the future don't belong to gang structures, you know.
Well, we should say, and we need to take a break in a second, Kaplan, but we should say that he's set. So the original the state of emergencies was 30 days, and now
extended it.
He's gotten Congress to extend it by 30 more days. So
it's just like us with COVID.
We'll see where. Yeah, sure. Exactly like us. Cap, let's take a break. We are part of the world's smartest podcast network, everybody. That is us, the Lost in America. That is Dr. Andrea Jones-Roy and the Majoring in Everything podcast, still waiting for an invite. That is the Political Orphanage with Andrew Heaton. Check out all of our shows.
Professor Heaton.
World's smartest podcast network.com. Everybody's got good guests all the time. So subscribe to all those shows, leave reviews for all those shows. And we should say he's not on the network, but Drew Fralick has a new show. I don't know what the name of it is though.
Oh, that's a great plug.
Yes. Do you know the name of his show?
I don't either, but we're going to learn it for next week, Drew. I promise you.
Well, I think it's Drewtopian something.
Oh, yes. There it is. That sounds right.
It's something around Drew. Just search Drew Fralick on iTunes, I guess, and find that. And leave a review for him, too. That's it, Kaplan. And now a word from your local sponsor. All right, we're back.
Thank you, sponsors.
Thank you very much. Keeping the lights on over here. Yeah. So, what... Oh, what's going on with Bitcoin? Should we talk about that? Last we left off, your currency, Bitcoin had just become an official currency of the country, but it wasn't the only currency. You could still use other forms of currency to get around. What's it like? How often do you use Bitcoin now?
I've never used Bitcoin in my life. Now, never.
You didn't even use the free money they gave you?
That was like a year ago or so. I think or 9 months ago, maybe when you were last on talking about Bitcoin.
I downloaded the wallet because, and I mean, this place is crazy. I'm telling you, whatever topic we, so the president, well, I don't know if the president, but the government, they built a pet, like a, how do you say, like, yeah, like a veterinary hospital for dogs, cats. Yeah. Snakes, yeah. I don't know, whatever.
Animals.
And in this place is called Chivo Pets. It's like the wallet. And then
it's sponsored.
If you go there and have a service and you pay in regular dollars, you pay like whatever like regular prices, like $50, $25. But if you pay with your Chivo wallet, you're only charged a quarter of a dollar. So 25 cents for service.
I'm going to bring my dog. Pancakes Kaplan has all sorts of ailments. I'm going to bring him down to El Salvador, get some Bitcoin.
So I downloaded it because to me, it was like, whatever. And then my mom was like, I went to Chivo Pets. And, you know, they gave our dog like this pill that is like $25 and it was only a quarter of a dollar. And then he had this, like, they gave my mom's dog arthritis medicine. They gave him my mom's dog takes a lot of pills now. And then that's why I made my own. Like I did download the wallet and then made an appointment for my own dog. So, and the funny thing is my mom was there. She was like, there was a dog coming out of chemotherapy. And I was like, they're doing chemotherapy for dogs.
I do physical therapy for my dog. So I,
so I think maybe, I mean, people are using it there. I don't know if they're going to, the government or whomever, because with this Chivo wallet, they say that is public funds, but it's a private company. I don't know what's the deal with this hospital, but if they kept on doing that, maybe people will use the wallet. I don't know.
Here's the idea.
That's smart.
We need the government, because the government's clearly somehow funding this vet hospital to try to encourage people to use Chivo Wallet, which is Chivo Wallet's the government run. And to catch people up who didn't hear the last episode, Chivo means cool. So it's like the cool wallet, the cool way to spend your money is through Bitcoin.
The millennial
says the millennial dictator.
So the cool dictator. It's a cool.
Yeah. Chivo dictator. And so Chivo president. So we need to do this with comedy. Do you know anyone in the, my brother told me that he knows the vice president of El Salvador.
Oh, vice.
So
dictator.
We need to get a meeting with him and maybe this is the episode. We convince him to subsidize comedy. So he pays you to do comedy. And but then that way, when people come to pay to watch the show, they can pay with the Chivo wallet. And it's like a 90% discount to watch the show. But who cares? Because you're getting paid by the gut. Now you're an employee of the government. And all of the material we write from now on is like, whoa, isn't the president so cool? Like, that's the joke.
Isn't it? We want more people in jail. Isn't it?
We want more. Yeah, it's all like pro-government comedy.
Well, we can. No, definitely. They haven't come up with anything. We could do like, Chivo comedy, maybe.
Chivo
comedy hour.
Sell out.
Chivo comedy seller.
It's only jokes about how great the government is
and how great Bitcoin is.
It's great. If you're getting anything from this, it's a great government. It's a great place. Everything is perfect, and every day is even more perfect.
This is the we'll cut this and send it to the vice president,
and that'll we make fun clip. Of people who like dollar bills or use currency.
These losers. Okay, boomers. Using currency.
A bunch of boomers with their credit cards and their bills. This is
you guys have idea. Like those okay boomer translate to Spanish in El Salvador?
How do you say that?
What do you call that generation?
Boomers? I don't think. Like, boomers are like my mom, right? Like,
But I mean, it's all based off of World War II. I don't know how involved
you were. Exactly. Like, born after.
Were you involved in
fighting
in World
War II? They didn't have a baby boom, I guess. That's a good point. I never thought about that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, they, old people, like, no, they don't have a phrase for that. They call old people.
Let's call them old.
Rucos. And then. Rucos.
Okay,
if
Ruko.
You are like 45, like if you like Nirvana and things like that, like they 45. Call you Chavo Ruko.
Oh, that's Kaplan.
I'm 45.
Kaplan's a Chavo. Okay, Chavo.
I like Nirvana. Nirvana's taking fire now. That's old man music now.
Miguel,
like,
his Spanish name is Miguel Chavarruco.
Miguel Chavarruco. I got to practice that for when we're there.
No, but the boomers are way older. That's like my parents. They listen to like Buddy Holly and
wow, Buddy Holly. Like the Supremes and things like that.
Yeah,
the Supremes.
That's a good one.
Led Zeppelin is my dad calls Led Zeppelin acid music.
That's too modern.
That's too new for him. Yeah, he's like, I don't listen to your new bands. my gosh.
Well,
so yeah, they said a third of the people, this is how bad the gangs must have been. A third of people approve of torturing of gang members.
Yeah. Well, did you see the president was posting pictures? Oh, are you there?
Yep.
Oh, yes. No, I saw the president was taking to Twitter because he's a millennial and he was posting pictures of these criminals being like frog walked around the prison and tortured and like showing off, like, which is something even Trump never did. Like that when he was on Twitter, like
so showing off at how good he is at torture.
Yeah. So that really means like you could post anything at this point. I feel like it's inappropriate if the president could post.
I mean, the numbers don't lie. So they said in 2015, now he only took office in 2019, so he can't get all the credit for this. But in 2015, they said there was about 6,600 homicides, murders in El Salvador. And then in 2021, there was 1,100, down from 6,600.
That is good. That is results. That's making the chains run on time.
So that's pretty good.
Yeah. So
when is his next election? Do you know?
2024.
But we're not going to have that. We're not going to really have an election, right? We don't need that.
I mean, at this point, like you hear rumors, and I don't think these rumors are true, or maybe they are. And if they are, they're awesome. Like maybe his wife could run, or maybe they can do like, I don't know if he's going to like, I think that he's going to have so much approval that he can do whatever he wants. Like right now he's at 91, 90, what, even though he has said that he has 97% approval, for example, for the gangs. Up to 97%. So I think when the time comes, he's going to be like, let's do me again. And people are going to be like, yeah, we approve.
That's going to change the constitution. Yeah.
So now, is it 1 6-year term? Is that what the president's allowed or what are the rules?
Oh, maybe only one term. And it's not like the US. You can only do one term and then you have to change.
Yeah, yeah, but I like the wife idea. It's a real glass ceiling.
It's a Michelle Obama
movie. To have your wife be your figurehead, it's a real progress.
Some people like at this point, I don't know what to think, but there are some Facebook groups that I've read that his wife being the next president. And in Nicaragua, that happens. Like you have, well, in Nicaragua, it's way worse. I mean, that has nothing to do with El Salvador. It's a really like a leftist government for a long time, authoritarian. So I think they do one his wife, one the like Ortega, and then his wife, and then Ortega, and then his wife, I think.
And then his brother.
So they're both in power.
My brother knows a couple of those people too.
Yeah, Turner's brother, I think, is in charge. Made that happen.
They don't like him. No. They don't like him.
Asian babyface.
In Nicaragua, they're not fans. I think in El Salvador,
he's much more popular.
Yeah, he's more popular in El Salvador than he is in Nicaragua.
That's a great. It's just sort of like trolling the people who are concerned about human rights or civil liberties when you do that. I like it.
And you think it's like I think and that's what I first maybe it has to do with the fact that I know a lot of Nicaraguan people. For example, in Nicaragua, which is just not right next to here, for the elections, like they arrested the other candidates, and I have friends of mine that when they speak ill of the government, like they've been in jail. So I think. And then I think about El Salvador 50 years ago, 60 years ago, when we also saw this kind of thing happen. Like, I feel like in my generation and the younger people, like they've never seen that. They've never seen like journalists get arrested or people like no democracy, nothing. It's been like there's no follow up. You only get you get random treatment. Since we haven't seen that in our lifetime and other people don't even know about it, they don't think that it can happen. But I mean, it could happen, you know?
Yeah, it happened next door. And it's, I think it's, is it from the, so something in the 80s, it was the 90s when the government changed. Is that right?
1992?
Yeah. 1992, yeah. After the Civil War, much like Colombia, like they gave the guerrilla a party. I mean, it's not the right way to say it, but there was a guerrilla that was called FMLN, and they were like the ones. And then after they did like this peace agreement, and then you have your own political party now, and you are going to run against other parties in the election. So the first two elections were won by a right wing party. It was called Arena, and then after those two, it was Cristiani, Calderon Sol, no, maybe three or four times, correct me if I'm wrong. And then after that, finally the political party, like the FMLN, like they won the government, and then they won it again. And after that, like all of those parties stole so much money. Like we were coming back to how Nayib was elected.
Yep.
Like they stole so much money. They did so many wrong things that the people, when Nayib did his own political party, they were like, I would vote like much like.
He's in no ideas.
But
he was all middle.
I get the feeling that sometimes we vote just for like, you don't love the candidate. You just want to have something else.
You just hate everyone else, basically,
anything else.
Yeah. So that's how he got elected. And on top of it, he was very smart because he started with, as we talked before, he started with, being a mayor.
Yeah.
So he did very good job as a mayor. So people were, and he got really good publicity for it. So on top of everybody being tired of the other political parties, he also did a great job as a mayor. So that's like how he won the presidency. And I think most of it is because people, like we were saying, like they are tired of everybody and they feel this like deceived by like the other parties lied to them. For example, this party that went from being guerrilla, like with the people, whatever, like when they were in power, they, when you find out that they stole a lot of money, like they behave like politicians right. behave, you know?
Yeah. What did they used to do about the gangs, the other parties in the past when there was violence?
Well, they had deals allegedly, but not so, I mean, when you look at the numbers, I don't know how successful the deals were.
The deals didn't include murder, apparently.
I don't know. Some journalists say that from like all the way from Arena, like the right wing party, they started negotiations with the gangs. And I like imagine that. For on the one side, it's like we were saying at the beginning, we just need them to stop killing people. But on the other hand, you're legitimizing them as a like a force, like much like when the guerrilla, like you're saying, okay, you exist, we're gonna talk to you. And that gives them power because now right. I can kill people or not kill people. And right. I know you're going to be listening to me.
Yeah. Terrorism works then when you negotiate.
Sure. Is it? Crazy. Well, it sounds like, I mean, he won't have to, if he were allowed to run again, which he's not, but he would probably win. And so then if his wife runs, she'll just probably, he doesn't need to rig anything at this point. He's just like super popular.
Can you go back and forth? You're saying like she can go and then he can go and.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know, but I know for sure that his party will win. I mean, right. I mean, I don't.
Party.
Because I live in a bubble. Like, believe me, all that I read, all that I know, like all that I hear from the people that I know, they are against him. But I know that out there, people love him.
Yeah.
So it's not like a traditional like in America left right. Yeah. It's more of like, is it more of an age thing? Like older people like him, or people who are more affected by the violence,
or is it money? Is it what you have? If you, the wealthier you are, the less you might need him.
Right? It's an excellent question. I think wealthy people, which we have, of course, they are just, you know, they run with any government. Like, for example, the party, like the candidate for the right wing party at Nayib's election, he owns a supermarket. And now he's like, yeah, of course, I'm going to put my ads on Nayib's like paper. Like they don't care. Like in my heart, I know that they don't care. They just want to like, is money flowing? Where can I do my business? And then when you say if it's generational, I think younger people, they are with him. My mom, it's a boomer. Like my mom is not a boomer in the sense that she was not born after, but my mom was born in 51.
Oh yeah. It's
and
a boomer.
She loves him. She loves him. Like she loves it. And she used to be very left wing when I was like when she was bringing me up, and now she loves him. I think it's a mix. Like there's something for everybody. There's people that are tired of the old politics. There's people that appreciate what he's done in regards of when he was a mayor in San Salvador, he had this publicity thing, but it was real at the same time. It was called like one day, like un día, una obra. So he would do like a good thing every day. I don't know how to call it, but one day he would, like put like pavement, I don't know how to say, but on one street. And then the other day he would do the signs. And then the other day he was always one thing, doing the things and then publicizing them. But I know like
but real things that affect real people. It was smart.
Exactly. Like he was things. Like a lot of people said like I didn't care for him, but now like this street didn't have cement for the last 20 years and now it has. And when the pandemic came, like for example, like I cannot deny it. You know, everybody's been vaccinated here for free. If you want to have a vaccine, you can get it. I know for a fact that you can. Like whomever wants a vaccine, they can have it. Like he's following like the craziest guidelines in the sense that I qualify now for a fourth shot. I haven't taken it, but I could if I want to. And then when the pandemic, like they gave everybody food, like door to door, they came to your house and gave you food. They gave a lot of people like $300 a month, like they like for because they were not working. And there's so many people, they say, like any other government, like there were hurricanes, there were earthquakes, and we did it. We never got this kind of help. I myself, when the pandemic came, like there was this thing like, yeah, you should write to, I don't remember exactly how, but you should write an email to this person because they're giving out money for artists. And I was like, do you really believe they're going to give me money? And then I did it and they gave me money. And I was like, why are you giving me money? Wow. Like, I'm like,
That's amazing.
So
yeah. So they've done some things well, is what you're saying. Like,
yeah,
like,
so they're doing a
our mayor's out at the Met Gala and doing whatever.
They're doing a pretty good job. It's on the, go ahead.
I just want to say quickly, like, on the other hand, you have economists and other people saying, like, we're in debt. Where is this money coming from? Blah, blah, blah. But I think people, like, day-to-day people, they don't think like that. They just think like...
Yeah, I saw that the Bitcoin, they need like to sell these bonds and no one's buying them and the country might default. I don't understand what any of that means, so I can't go too, but I don't know what bonds are, how they work. But that's, you could have some long-term economic problems, so.
Yeah, who cares? do you feel like the streets are safer in the last month? Have you felt any difference or can you tell?
I always feel safe in my streets. I never go out.
You're in a gated community. She's in the back of the gated community there. She's the number one.
Listen to me. I never go out in the streets without my husband or my dog. And I don't think I want to go out alone, because every time I go alone, it's more like street harassment than violence or anything like that. But I've heard from people
Do they do that?
Yeah.
Oh. It's not very well.
I hear from people that it's a lot safer. I wouldn't know, but you hear like these stories that people feel safer now than before. I mean, somebody is in jail, you know, like.
Yeah. Right. If you arrest 22,000 people, if a lot of them are dangerous, you know.
Yeah, you got to be nice. A few eggs to make an omelet.
It would be nice if the people had real trials. I would go on record.
I
can see the pluses too. As someone who, my dog is useless. She's in a wheelchair. She can't protect me. So I'm terrified walking the streets.
You're out
here,
there on your own.
I'm out there on my own, and they're whistling at me too. They're doing that sound.
Cab's getting the.
I get it all day. But I mean, awesome. I saw the, you know, so it sounds like, because there are human rights groups are giving him a real hard time. And I don't know if you saw this, Turner, but the Human Rights Watch wrote a whole report, a scathing report about this. And he shot back and he just called them the Homeboy Rights Watch. That was his very, very Trump-like. So I read that and I think he's kind of a clown, but then you're telling me the government's actually pretty competent with a lot of the pandemic response and other things.
Well,
so
you can be good at Twitter and good at government.
You can be good at Twitter. I thought in America, you're either good at Twitter or good at government. You're not usually good at both. So
on both
know.
Sides, by the way.
Yes, exactly.
No, I think he's very smart about how he has positioned human rights people, journalists. He wants everybody to hate them, you know? So because anybody that talks, like, he's not really open to criticism.
A little bit of thin skin.
So at this point, he has done a really good job at defaming, I don't know, like independent journalists and human rights people and NGOs. I don't know if you call them that. So they are like, oh yeah, you're defending criminals. And I think, I don't think they're defending criminals, you know, but they are just being, somebody has to do that. You know, somebody has to be like, okay, but, you know, like, okay, but it feels like there's no room for that anymore. Like, you just have to say yes, 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 regardless of what happens.
Because 12 years old seems young from my perspective to be tried as an adult, unless you've killed somebody, maybe, but you know, if anything else, just being in a gang is not.
But you have to think, like, what life have you led to be a 12-year-old person that has killed? Like, is that really your fault? Yeah, of course. But what kind of country, like, do we need more?
That's a good question. Like, and I think we're about done. But what's like a root? What's the root of all this? Like, is there a way to get at the root of the gangs and then to solve it from the inside out? Because this is one way of solving it is arresting all the gang members. A different way, which is a lot harder and takes a lot more time and maybe takes like 20, 30, 50, I don't know how long, but is to like figure out the root problem and then go from there. What is it, just that the economy or?
It's a mix. It's the fact that I think one of the problems is immigration. Like, so many people, they don't have, I heard a psychologist say, like, you don't have a family. So many people, they don't have a family because their parents are in the US, maybe one or two parents. So you don't have a family. And on top of that, like, there's no, like, you don't have a place to grow up. And then the gangs become very like a place where you can be yourself and people love you. I mean, love you, right? Yeah. So that's how a lot of people turn, like, it's easy, it's fun. I mean, and then you end up there. I don't know if we can solve, you would have to do a lot of work, like you yeah. say, like a lot of institutions, a lot of programs. And you kind of hear, like, I haven't read about that a lot, but in Colombia or other places, when they talk about rehab, like a lot of things that if I don't think we're going to do here, I mean, I don't know. So I, like, the root problem is very hard. I don't know what it is. I mean,
so for now, this is might be the best move. Well, hopefully it gets clean. Hopefully in the next 30 days that they do end, they lift the, hopefully they get the job done and then go back to normal. I guess that's the best case scenario, right?
Yes.
And then make a TV show, The Wire, El Salvador.
There you go.
Sounds like a lot of material.
That's it. Gabby, thank you so much for doing the show. Gabby Rivera, how can people check out your comedy? And I know it's in, most of it's in Spanish, but we have Spanish speaker.
Listeners. You can. I have a few videos on YouTube. You can look like Gabby Rivera, I think it's the name of my channel. You can also find me on Instagram. Also, again, Gabby with an I.
G-A-B-I.
And yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, Kaplan. That is it. What should we do?
I made it through the whole episode this time, so I can say get lost.
Get lost.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.